Moroto, it's your team, okay? Okay. Some members asked to be excused because they belong to other committees. That Winam will be leaving us in the next 20 minutes to attend to other matters. But anyway, we've come to the end of, nearly the end of our program. In the sense that some of the matters that we are supposed to discuss today do not belong to today. As well, we said earlier that we cannot discuss the strike plan because the strike plan has to be referred by the House, by the Speaker, to the committee. So, and that between now and the day that the minister will be presenting a budget, there may be changes. So there could be changes in the strike plan. So, and the same thing again goes for this new legislation, that we cannot engage with it until it's referred to us by the House. So we can just take it. I don't know. Do you think it's worth the while to go through the overview, or is this overview just going to tell us about processes that you follow and not necessarily engage in the real issues related to the legislation? If it's like that, I don't think we should go. From where I'm sitting, I don't think we should sit down and listen to processes when what we actually want is the real thing. So we're actually coming to the end of our meeting. Maybe we can look back and say, are there other questions that members would like to raise in relation to the presentation in the morning? And then after that, before we close, we'll go through the program so that we discuss our program from now onwards and check if there are things that where we have made mistakes of putting the cart before the horses, you know, so that if there are to be any changes that we need to make to the program, let us engage with them so that we avoid things like what happened today, where we are bringing issues that cannot be discussed before they are referred to by the House. Please bear with us, we are all new. Our secretary had just started 3 weeks ago of the committee, so, and he wasn't in committees before, so please bear with us, we are all learning. And as we learn, we make mistakes, and good learners make mistakes because then they learn from those mistakes, never to repeat them again. That's why I'm suggesting that after the final questions on the first presentation, we look at the program, and so that we are sure that when we meet next time, they won't be like, oops, we can't discuss this because of this and that reason, you know. So, Dr. Moroto, I take it that the House agrees that we leave the overview, because the overview is only going to deal with processes. Unless if members want to understand what the processes are, then at least we have something to discuss. Honorable Olis, I saw your hand.
Thanks, Chairperson. If you have a little bit of time and I can ask a detailed question about the existing legislation. You remember I said it this morning, I didn't quite understand how the UIF calculation was done. There's another aspect of the legislation that I don't completely understand, and that is the essential services legislation. How you declare a particular form of work an essential service, how does the committee work, how do you get that? Because I know that there's a process, you know, and I don't understand that process. I know, you know, like, there's a lot of debates. Should the military be a central service or shouldn't it? Now, I'm not going to get into that debate. I just
be my clear. And the other question I'd like to ask is you, Madam Rotova, you talked about the mobile stations, and you said some buses are too low to drive in rural areas. I've never seen such a bus. the buses that are very low to drive in rural areas are the ones that they're using at the airport. Those ones are very low. That's my car.
Manufacturer line longer than.
And the worst thing. No, but you know what? I've been working in the Northwest in very, very rural areas, and I'm driving a 320 diesel, a BMW. I call it a rural assault vehicle. I've been to any village thing. If there's any province with the West roads, it's the Northwest. But I could go to all those villages in the whole day that I spent there. No, there are not potholes in the Northwest. They are trenches. They are trenches. Trenches and mortar crates. So I really would like to know. I mean, those buses must even be lower than the Kumbis, because the taxi Samakachiwa are not driving in the village. In more outlying areas. So I still need to see what kind of buses. You see, the other problem again with this kind of thing is that it all depends on the commitment of people who do the work. You know, if people are not committed to doing their work, they will come with lots of excuses. You know, that my parking, because buses are higher than parking. You know, so what are you going to take to get to reach those villages? Maybe Unimog. You know, the Unimog Mercedes Benz. Because they are the ones who are slightly, you know, elevated more than the buses. So, and I mean, if we purchase these buses for the purposes of working in rural areas, why did we choose the wrong bus, the airport bus? You know, I mean, that is just one, but let's deal with the question asked by Honorable Hollis. You can drop mine. It doesn't need an answer. Because there is no such a bus that cannot drive in the valley. My question doesn't need an answer.
Okay. No, thanks, Honorable Chapa. I guess maybe Mr. Ketodas or Mr. Mkaripi can talk to the work of the Essential Services Committee, CCMA.
The Essential Services Committee is a committee set up by the Labor Relations Act. It is housed at the CCMA. It's made up of two reps from labor, two reps from business, and an independent person who shares the committee. There's no rep for government, except that government appoints the independent person in consultation. The minister, on behalf of government, appoints the independent chairperson in consultation with the social partners. Now, when a department or a company wants to be declared as essential services, there's a form that they fill, just like they would, an employee would fill a form when they are dismissed. It is sent to the CCMA, that form. And this is, and then on top of that form, the employer will have to give a document that explains. It's not good enough to say, I want to be in social services. You've got to motivate why, because the law, remember, it does indicate what are the conditions that the social service will look at to decide that you're in social service. It's not because you applied, because you meet the requirement of the Act, therefore you've got to justify that application in terms of the requirement of the Act. For example, if you are nurses, you work in ICU, you've got to indicate what is the life risk if workers go on strike and all those issues. And then that committee, it will call both labor, and that notice must be distributed, and your motivation to the trade unions, if there are trade unions in the organization, or to any other interested parties that would be affected by that issue. Most of the time, it's workers, it's employers that apply make this application, and workers must get the notice so that they can respond. Because remember, essential services interferes with the right to strike. And therefore, they've got to be able to go and put a case also at the CCMA. And then the Essential Service Committee then take a decision, just like an arbitration decision. After listening to the evidence from both parties, then they would decide and say, yes, we agree. We declare now this service is essential. Therefore, it means that those workers cannot go on strike. Their wages and working conditions can only be dealt through arbitration. After the Essential Services have declared the operations in social services, they will publish it in a government gazette. There is a list of all the essential services that have been declared over the years. In our website, there is one. In the CCMA website, is one that they update as they take this decision. That's how basically it operates. It's similar to an arbitration process where you go to the CCMA. You've got to motivate your case. You've got to give the other party an opportunity to come and say why they think that you are wrong, you should not be in social services, and you've got to have an opportunity to go in and give your own evidence. Thank you.
Just taking what you said, I got an impression that maybe the list of essential services is too long for you to indicate to us what are these essential services. I don't know, is the list too long perhaps to deal with that now? If it is, anyway, the second part of my question is what happens then if in fact the you know that is overlooked, that a service is essential, it's overlooked, and workers go on strike anyway. Thank you.
Now what happens, I mean, it's the same situation when workers go out on strike without following the normal procedures. I mean, even if you're not in social services, you've got the right to go on strike, but the law indicate procedures that you must follow. Sometimes workers comes in for whatever that makes them angry. They go out on strike without following those procedures.
Okay.
And then the, in terms of the law, the employer could do two things. I mean, the employer can interdict the strike and say, you are breaking the law, you have not followed the procedures, and therefore come back to work because you've broken the law. That's what the employer can do. The employer can give them notice and say, you've broken your contract in terms of the contract of employment. If you break your contract, then it means that you've, the employer has got an opportunity to dismiss on the basis that the terms of the contract has been broken. The same thing happens here. When workers in the social service go out on strike, when they are not supposed to go out on strike, the employer could do things. It has happened to ESCOM when the workers wanted to go on strike. It has happened to even nurses and police where the government or hospital will go to the court to interdict the people going out on strike. What has bedeviled the processes in the social services in the past in terms of the strike action? If you look on the workers that have gone on strike, because also the law says that there must be what we call a several level agreement in for people who are working for social services, a minimum service level agreement where both parties are going to agree and say this function is essential, but for workers to go on strike in this function, what level of services that you need, they must agree to that. That's part of the process of insurance services. Now, what has happened in the past is that parties have not been able to reach those minimum service level agreement. And then if you look at the strike that has taken place in the areas where the social services, the unions are saying, well, because there's no service level agreement, we are entitled to go on strike. The employer says, irrespective of that, you are still in social services, you're not supposed to go on strike, even if there's no service level agreement. And that's the issue that is developed. But if a worker goes on strike, the employer can take disciplinary action against the workers that went on strike who are in social services. The employer can interdict them. Those are the options that are available to employers to deal with workers who go out on strike when they're not supposed to go out on strike. Disciplinary action interdict and those processes.
Follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, but you know, one is left with the impression that things are a bit murky here. You know, things are a bit not neither here nor there. From what you say, really, it seems to the listener that in fact there is nothing that really is concrete like that or that.
If there isn't there a law that says people like this cannot go on strike? Does it depend only on application? So if the hospital doesn't apply, then it means they can go on strike. So I want to explain. These are the things that are called essential services with or without applications. The law says if you work in this in the health sector, if you are a doctor, you cannot go on strike.
Yeah.
And then if you go on strike, this will be penalty.
The consequence.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we came from a strike that was really shocking.
That's right.
Lots of people died. Lives that could have been saved. We lost those lives because of the strike. Now,
there's nothing like that.
We're not trying to do a review, but what we want to know is how does a service get declared an essential service? Does it depend on the application of the employer? Or does it come as in the form of a declaration?
Members must remember this. The constitution of the country that members have approved guarantees the right to strike. It's a fundamental right. That's our Bible, the constitution in this country.
No,
we're talking about the right to strike.
Yeah.
Now, that's where we should start from. The constitution guarantees that right to strike. Now, you cannot have a law that prevents, that put a blanket prevention on a strike. Therefore, we don't have such a law. We've got a law that says that all constitutional rights can be limited. And in limiting the right to strike, what the LRA said, they said, let us set up an essential service committee that will, by application and motivation, decide to limit the right to strike in specific areas. Therefore, the question that you're asking, Jefferson, there's no law that says nurses cannot go on strike. There is a declaration by the committee that says, also the committee's approach is this, Chair. The committee's approach is that, and this is an international approach, you can never have the whole sector as essential. You can't say the whole hospital, let us say take Baragwana Hospital, you say everybody working in Baragwana Hospital is essential services. But the declaration would say people working in this area, it could be ICU of the hospital or this area, there's a long list that determines those issues. Even in municipalities, there are sections that are essential, there are sections that are not essential. Precisely.
We actually get that. What we want to know is what determines that this one is essential. Does it come through an application from this thing? Because the constitution is clear. Everybody has the right to strike. So we can have a right to strike. But that's about obligations anyway. Obligations of the workers and including their rights. That one is not that it's not an issue, we understand that. But what is it? Can the department, does the department have rights of saying this is essential? Or does it depend on the application from whoever? So the Ministry of Health can make an application on behalf of the hospitals to say, from this category to that category, that is an essential service. Then each municipality, does each municipality have to apply that, or can the bank get the SALGA?
SALGA.
No, SALGA.
department can also apply on behalf of all the sections in municipality, in different municipalities, say we're applying for firefighters to be declared as a special dispatch of firefighters, and they're able to declare that. The department can apply. The Department of Home Affairs made an application that has not gone through to declare the people that work in border post, what is it called, immigration officers. And they made an application for them to be declared essential services. That they have not got that yet. There was a court case, a big court case, if you remember, about those issues. The short answer to that, you're correct, Chair, is that you can only be declared essential by application. You apply and you go and argue your case. It's not just an application. You must go and argue your case, and because the law indicates on what basis can the essential service decide that you are essential. There must be a threat to life if you go on strike, and all of those issues that are in the law.
Can a public apply?
No, okay. The point is the public, that the department has no role in there. The department cannot apply and declare, or it cannot declare any service as essential. It has to be the relevant division department that does that. And that could even...
My question was in two parts.
Can you just switch on your mic?
The second part was, what if then, you know, even if there has been agreement that, for instance, that is an essential service, and it is still not recognized as such by the strikers, then what is the position regarding that one?
I thought I dealt with this issue. When you don't follow the processes of the law, you lose the protection of the law. But that's what the law is. I mean, if employees go out on strike when they were not supposed to go out on strike, whether they go out on strike because they're essential services or whether they have not followed the processes, what the law says, you're losing your protection of the law. Remember, the protection protects you against dismissal for exercising your right. Now, when you go on strike against the law, you lose that protection as an employee. Therefore, the employer can start disciplinary action precisely because you've taken, you've acted against the spirit of the law. It's for the employer to decide. Remember now, the problem with the employer is you've got 10,000 workers that go out on strike who are not supposed to go out on strike. To have a disciplinary process for 10,000 workers, that's the issue. But then you can't take that away. The employer must still have a process. They must still act fairly in that, because you can't say all of you are dismissed. Some of them might not be even be on strike. They might be sick for that day. They did not go to work because they are outside. Mm-hmm. They did not go to work because they were sick. Now you can't take a black position. You go to work. Fairness process is that. So that's what the labour market. That's what, you know, the issue is about fairness and then the decision taking. But when you go on strike against the law, you lose your protection. That's the principle.
And after that protection is lost, you are all at the mercy of your employer.
Yeah.
So
and
the
are
employer,
you ready to challenge them?
The employer, Dr. Little, press the mic when you speak, so that then I can keep quiet, because I know there's something you should say. Marma Kuluma Ganji is not recorded. I'm just saying that if you go on strike when you know that you are declared an essential service, you are doing it, you're taking a risk as the worker. The law is there to protect you. But then you... No, the law won't protect you on that one. Of course, constitutionally, you've got the right to go on strike. But then there are certain obligations that they say, you've got this right to strike, but you must first apply. And when you apply, you are going to be quoted that thing, the clause 8, you are in social service, you cannot. But then there must be a way of saying, these are ways and means of resolving your problem. It's going to take, these are the process that we are going to follow to address your issues. Because it doesn't mean if you are in essential service, then you must just keep quiet even when things are not doing well. You know? So workers have the right to raise those things. But if you defy that and go on strike, when your strike ends, you are completely at the mercy of your employer. Because your employer can say, can raise the contract. Because that thing in the in your contract, is there a clause that shows that you are an essential, whatever, you said that you are not going to be on strike? Is there such a thing on the contract? Is there?
Well, the issue is this. Contracts for different employers will differ from different workers. If I was an employer and this section has been declared essential services, it's my responsibility to ensure that the contract reflects that. If it does not reflect it, I cannot use the contract as additional resources. Therefore, we are not going to be able as a department to know what each contract of an employee says. But if it's been declared in social services and you want to use a contract as a point of disciplinary action and say you've broken your contract, you've got to make sure as an employer that the contract stipulates that. If the contract doesn't stipulate that, you can still say the essential service committee has declared you essential and you went on the strike, you can still take actions against that as an employer. Nothing prevents you because it's not in the contract.
Those workers are actually completely at the mercy of the employers after having broken that. I'll give over to the police and then...
Thanks, Chairperson. I want to ask the question. Can the public who are affected by a particular industry not petition for something to be cleared in essential service? Let's say the public patients in hospital, they don't get treatment and they're very angry when the strike is occurring. Are they not allowed to petition with this committee at the CCMA to have that particular section of the medical fraternity declared an essential service? Is there such a vehicle, or does it have to be the employer?
Now I want to check if I understand. I'm not trying to answer, so that's why I speak before him, so that I can be corrected. I'm trying to check if my understanding is okay of this. The community is too large. Unless if you put an association of patients in that village, who will as a structure give that? But there's no... Or maybe the civic association could do that. Is it possible? Because if you say individuals, then there will be individuals and need to write petitions and all that. Then how do you convene a meeting of those people to give those reports and all that? I'm just saying that it's easier when things are done by structures than when they are done by individuals.
You see, in terms of law, so Ms. Ollis, we understand, Honorable Ollis, there's this term called local standing, whether you call local standing. Now, in terms of the LRA, the local standing is the employer-employee relationship. And in terms of the social services, that it's the responsibility of the employer to make the application to decide whether he is. Workers have never applied to be regarded as social service. I mean, it will never happen. It's the employer that comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's how the social service operates. It's the employer, because the employer knows that they've got a service to deliver to the public, that they must look at their operation and safeguard the public. There's no avenue for the public to apply for this company. Remember, you're declaring a company in essential services, that this company is in essential services or not. You might have a situation where both the trade union and the employer, it could be the type of work, you could have a situation where both the trade union and the management of the company said, no, we're not essential services. The community is on the other side saying it's essential services. And there's no avenue in terms of the law that says anybody can approach the essential services. Got to have interest in the matter, because remember, you want to limit the right of workers to go out on strike, and that's what has been happening in all the cases that has been declared essential services now. It's the management of the organization, whether it be government, whether it be private, that approaches the essential service committee with the argument that's put on the table, and the other party comes again and then a decision is taken. There are many of those that have been declared. I don't think, for me, the real issue is not about whether operations are declared essential or not, because all the major critical operations has been actually been declared as essential. All the major ones, we supply the list so that the members can see the list. All of them are declared. It's very few critical, I mean, if there are any, like now I said, one, in the last 3 years, we have now, one or two cases that have come in, because all of them have been declared. The last one that came in was the Home Affairs in the people that are dealing with the border post. You don't have any more that, because that work has been done. Almost everything that must be declared in social services has been declared. There's not a backlog in terms of issues. That there are no applications that are coming in on a daily basis for this issue. The issue is what the member has been asking, whether workers and employers out there respect the fact that they have been declared in social services. And there's no strike in areas where there's social services. That's we cannot guarantee. You know, the members know that there has been strike in areas that where they should not have been strike when they were in social services. That it is a different issue. But I mean, almost there's no section of the operation in the labor market that should be internationally in social service that is not in social services.
Chair, can I,
Honorable
Williams?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to find out, because you say it's only the site where people are employed and the management thereof that can apply for to declare the service as essential. Can the school governing body do the same, which includes the headmaster?
Thank you. I just want to follow up with something like that. When you said like sections have been declared as essential services, like firefighters and municipalities, the fact is that through collective agreements with SELGA, SAMU can negotiate numbers of firefighters that can go on strike during strikes. So it's not every single firefighter that has to not participate in that strike. So now that's changed everything again, because it, from what you said, it looks like no firefighters can ever go on strike. But through collective agreement with SELGA and SAMU, that firefighters can go on strike. In fact, I've participated in a strike where firefighters did go on strike, but then they weren't dismissed because they weren't... The essential services was reduced. In other words, there might have been 20 firefighters on a normal day at work, but during the strike there were only 12 at work, so 8 of them were allowed to go on strike. Thank you.
Can I say that I think this is enough for the... For this, what we wanted to know was, how does work become essential? Is it declared by labor? And then the explanation is that no, the relevant organizations will apply, you know. So I think we're to
Yes. Can we? I think you said that you could give us a list. That would be appreciated.
Let's get that list, including the composition of that committee. That does
think it is doable. Manamen, welcome back.
Yes. Can we apply for the opposition to be non-essential?
No, you can go on strike me at any time.
No, see, they'll never go on strike me. I wish they do. People think maybe, you know, we put in the house, bargain the horse before the, or the cat before the horse, whatever. So that we know that when we are through with this, there won't be any postponement until, unless if something really drastic happens, like like the opposition going on strike. No, they're just getting it now.
Chairperson, on the program on page 2, although there's no page, the second page, where we talk to the 15th of March, it says briefing by the Department of Labour on their strategic planning for 2011-12 and budget vote 17. We also have to include the stuff that we missed out on today in that. Is that what's happening in that briefing? Because it's going to be very tight. You know, maybe we should start at 6:30 instead of 9 o'clock. Okay, 7 o'clock then.
No, but will this date... will this date be suitable to discuss this matter? These matters will be, they'll be relevant on that particular day. So that if they are not, then we take them off the program now. Like we've added things that are not supposed to have been on the agenda of today. I think that is what we need to check first before we... Will these things be relevant for that day? Or is there some things that we need to take out and replace them with others? Or should we just leave you with this so that you can give us written feedback?
Honorable Chairperson, I think it helps in terms of planning you pronounce on the program. But the strat plan, the date that we have for tabling is the 9th.
So all the government strat plans are going to be tabled on the 9th, and ours would be tabled as well. The budget vote of the department, the tentative date we have is the 13th of April. That is when our budget vote is going to be debated. And normally the strat plan, my understanding is that the committee would want to discuss the strat plan and then engage. Now, it depends on the portfolio committee as to whether if they get the strat plan on the 9th, the reading and all that would be done such that on the 15th we're prepared to engage. That will be much better for us if that can be done. Just a correction, the vote of the department has changed to 18 because of the introduction of the new Department of Higher Education and Training, so we've been bumped to 18 now. 180. So I think we are entirely on yourself, and we can then link maybe the deliberations on SONA issues, which appears on the current program. We believe that the minister in her budget vote speech would then address some of those into detail. But the strat plan broadly does cover a range of those issues, including partly the growth path. So if we can leave it as a briefing on the strat plan, it will for us, we don't have a problem. Copies will. Yeah. Now I'm saying if we retain it as it is, and you finalize it today, it's not a problem for us, because it allows us to plan properly. The problem is if we leave and then a new program comes, then it impacts on our planning process.
March, that meeting with agriculture, is it essential? No, I mean, we've had a discussion on the question of the fishing industries and all of that here. Can't we use that date for something else, seeing that we're hardly pressed with time?
Chairperson, I hate to disagree with my esteemed colleague down there, but if you look at the reason for the meeting, it's to ensure that the recommendations are followed up and implemented. So, I mean, unless the department actually comes to us and tells us in writing that they've done something, we can move that meeting. But if we just leave it hanging, I mean, you know, we've got no way of seeing that anything's happening there, any change has been made. Thank you.
Chairperson, I would like to support my colleague Abia, because they actually did come already to this committee and they told us. We went and checked on the racism charges, we sent the inspector there, we sent this, we sent that, we got a whole list of stuff from the department of the other nodding their heads. They came here to this very room and they told us the whole story. Now, to spend a whole 3 hours or 4 hours 4 hours rehashing it again. We need maybe 1 hour. We can go for 1 hour and get another follow-up briefing and then spend 3 hours talking about the budget, which we already have. We don't have to wait. We've got the document. It's in our pigeonholes. We can do the overview of the budget
on that same day, on the 8th, so we can go for an hour maybe and listen to another presentation on the fishing and then spend 3 hours doing our work of this committee. We heard all of that about who they sent, and we even had the inspectors come here, do you remember? And the one inspector pointed at the other one and we shouted at him and said, but why didn't you go and why did he go? And we had the whole thing already.
On the last page, there's an outstanding issue. There's an outstanding issue with no date. You can put it there.
Chairperson, the budget goes with the strat plan because the budget is an expression of what is it that we are going to buy with the money. And the two, to discuss the budget without understanding the strat plan, I think it may be problematic. And the problem is that the date of the tabling is the 9th. Now, we would have preferred, Honorable Chairperson, to discuss the strat plan and the budget, because the budget is essentially what the strat, the money is going to buy. But also just some few comments on the program. It may be important for the committee to consider. I mean, we have the UI and the compensation fund on Friday, and these entities on their own are big, and you also have NEDLAC and Productivity South Africa on the same day, and only the CCMA 4 hours on the 22nd, and the committee may consider splitting, either having 3-2 and pushing the productivity to be part of the CCMA, because those threat plans may be
too much.
Okay, so we, after the fisheries, what do we need to partner with fisheries, with agriculture on that day? Because like we said, we can't have 4 hours. So there will be an hour for them, and then we need to give somebody 3 hours to give a presentation. It will be one of these entities.
Yes.
Because we cannot separate the budget from the plan. And even after, okay. Is there something called an implementation plan?
The strat plan.
Plan has that in it, that this will be done on surface.
Yes, the strategic plan is our implementation plan, because it outlines, it has outputs, it has indicators, and it has dates which indicates by when, and the money that we are going to spend to achieve.
Okay, thanks. Is it possible to have the agriculture with the CCMA? Or should we bring the bargain productivity?
We can.
The CCMA can serve because they are part of the strategic plan of the department. It will be a presentation. But there are some issues that we need to chew with the CCMA.
Outstanding
issues from the previous years. The AG's report about the CCMA, we need to have a discussion with them about that. Or could we just say that we'll rework this thing in the management committee meeting? I think it would, I want to say, it's beginning to confuse us in this meeting. That after doing that, then we'll forward the plan to you. I thought it was going to be an easy thing to do. But I can see it doesn't seem as easy as I thought it was to be. That if there are to be any comments in terms of the changes and recommendations, do that. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, we'll deal with this program later and then give it to the department. If there are some comments that they'll want to make, they can send the program back to us and then we'll give it to the speaker for the record, for programming and other things. Thank you very much. It was nice doing business with you. Until we meet again.
No.
There's still.
Who are you? Now we haven't even discussed the question. Who are you?